Today is August 16th, 2017, and this is episode number 424 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I am counting down the days. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
Do you have a notepad where you're doing like little hash marks? Are you using an abacus?
I've got a calendar on the wall. I put a little red X through the days.
Excellent. Excellent. So every day, one more little X.
One more little X to get a little bit closer.
Well, that's really exciting.
It's highly romantic.
It is. It's really sweet. Well, you use red, which is, you know, a passion color.
Yes, it's either that or I'm tracking my period.
Well,
in 1994,
it's totally possible. I mean,
it is possible. We're off to an excellent start. Now, speaking of email,
why do I laugh? Because I'm only going to encourage you.
That's true. Jason had an email for us.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah, Jason wrote a nice little email titled Yammering About Fitbit.
So I love the subject. I'm in. I fully endorse this totally, email without hearing the rest of it just from that.
Yep, absolutely, completely. He said in episode 423, that would be last week's episode. Is that right?
Yes, because this is 424. And if numbers could be palindromes, this would be.
But they can't. And so also, it's not. I wasn't actually listening when you were doing the intro.
Well, I know, which is why I had to tell you what the number is.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Fair point. So let's see here. I'm going to mute my iPhone. He said in episode 423, you guys spent a lot of time dumping on Fitbit. And I have to say, I got curious and went and looked at their product line after Brian wouldn't stop about how awful they are.
God, and how bad it is. I can't believe you just banging on them like that.
I know, right? And how bad it is that Fitbit won't connect to Apple's HealthKit. He said at some point in the show, Brian said, hey, I don't do research, so what do I know? And on this topic, this couldn't have rung more true.
Oh, burn.
A total burn. But here's the deal. I didn't go back and listen to the show.
Because don't do research.
Yeah, because we don't do research. But I'm pretty sure that I didn't say that the Fitbit's products are bad. Mainly because I don't think Fitbit's products are bad. I don't think Fitbit's going to be able to make a worthy smartwatch. But I think that Fitbit's fitness tracking devices are actually quite good. I can't imagine that I said that their products are bad. I heartily condemn their decision not to support HealthKit. I heartily condemn their very, very arrogant attitude about HealthKit. And I'm experiencing a great deal of schadenfreude that decision has come to bite them in the butt, in corporate butt.
Now, for clarification, when you say their arrogant attitude, a resistance to HealthKit,
yeah,
this comes from what we both witnessed firsthand at CES in multiple years, where we confronted them specifically about this, and they were very arrogant about not supporting HealthKit.
Yes, and like I said, I'm experiencing some schadenfreude at the fact that that's biting them in the corporate butt. But I think that they do fitness tracking really, really well. And like I said, I also remember saying last week that to me, their best avenue for success is to explore all of the niches that Apple Watch doesn't fill and cannot fill well. Mm-hmm. And that was probably their best avenue for success going forward, and then again, I dumped on the idea that they're going to make a smartwatch. I don't think that anybody, right, without their own platform, can make a usable, useful, popular, successful, profitable smartwatch.
Now,
Fitbit, it's not just Fitbit.
Yes, and Fitbit will have their own platform.
I mean a broader ecosystem like Android, like iOS.
Well, okay. Now, I guess here's where I do come to Fitbit's defense a little bit. They have built a pretty impressive ecosystem over the years. It's one of the reasons they were able to become so successful before they lost their focus, I believe. And that's because they opened their platform for other people to play in. So you can have, say, your smart scale feeding data into your Fitbit account and all of these other devices that you would want to use and other services that you would want to use in conjunction with your Fitbit, they could feed stuff into that platform.
Yeah, I don't think it's enough. I really don't think it's enough.
Well, without HealthKit, I agree. It is not enough.
And without more of an ecosystem, I don't want to buy devices to feed into my HealthKit to my Fitbit account. That's crazy. Right. I don't want to. I mean, like
it is now. In the day, man, if a product didn't support Fitbit, I had no interest in it. And I was feeding data from all kinds of things into my Fitbit account. And it was awesome because it was HealthKit before there was HealthKit. And yes, I know that's not exactly fair to say. But, you know, the concept of having a unified repository for all my health and fitness data, that's what Fitbit was doing.
Right. And what we've seen happen since then is we've seen the rise of the smartphone platform become preeminent. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely true. It's not just iOS. It's also true for Android. And I think that as we continue to go forward, that more and more of our lives will be centered around our smartphones, and that's what you're going to need to have a smart watch that is truly useful, successful, profitable.
Yeah. And all right. So when the Apple Watch came out, and it's no secret, I was very skeptical about whether or not I would wear one long term. And while you were certain that I would, my skepticism was warranted because I hadn't worn a watch in 20 years and I loved my Fitbit. And so what I did was I wore Apple Watch and Fitbit for, I don't even remember, was it like a month or two?
Something like that.
For a long enough time that it was just kind of weird that I was wearing these two different fitness tracking devices all the time. And in the end, the little display button on my Fitbit stopped working, and I had to make a decision. Do I buy a new one to replace it and keep wearing the Fitbit? And in the end, I chose not to replace it and to walk away from years worth of fitness data because I couldn't use a Fitbit with HealthKit. And during that 2-month window, HealthKit became a very important thing to me.
Hello, well, right.
So, anyhow.
So, Jason went on to say that he said, I usually like you guys, but please give yourself a reality check. Comparing the all too perfect custom equal Apple Watch to something which is a $150 item. He said, I love TMO podcasts.
Well, thank you.
Yes, indeed. But this episode, you guys really made out sounding biased and just overly and arbitrarily opinionated, to which I would say, I think that's all of the podcasts. That's all. that sounds about right. And because we were apparently such jerks, or at least I was such a jerk because he was aiming all this at me, he went out and bought himself a Fitbit. So, you know, you're welcome, Fitbit.
Well, Jason, good for you. And I'm not saying that in a sarcastic or facetious way. Good for you. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And I hope
absolutely.
That Fitbit helps you maintain the fitness level you want. I know for me, when I got a Fitbit, it was a life-changing event when I needed a life-changing event to happen. And Fitbit will always have a warm place in my heart, even though I'm not wearing one anymore.
You know, I got another thing to say here. The all perfect and has no equal Apple Watch. I mean, I've been very consistent all along about talking about the fact that I like my Apple Watch, but I don't love it. And that's actually still the case.
You know, my Apple Watch is going to be sitting in my office for a few days because I'm going to Wyoming to be in the path of totality for the eclipse. Mm-hmm. And for where we're going to be, we have to camp. So that means my Apple Watch just became useless.
It would still do fitness tracking.
One day battery life.
You know what you need? I agree with you on that, on the battery life thing. You know what you need is you need the Canic. I've got one sitting on my... what's the name of the company? I want to say Kanecc. Is that all right?
That sounds very familiar.
Oh my goodness. It is, it's a, Apple Watch charger that also has a built-in battery.
Yep. And how many batteries do I really need to take along with me for camping?
Well, one, if you want to use your, Apple Watch.
And that's why my Apple Watch is going to sit on my desk for a few days.
So, why can I not remember the name of this company? This is a blank here. This is like,
I think it's Canic.
How do you spell it?
It's with a K.
Yeah.
It's like K-A-N-E-K, something like that.
Canex.
Ah, it's an E-X.
That's what I was messing up on. Yeah. The name of this product is, let me actually find it. Name of this product. Cause it seems like, you know, we should actually mention this.
Top men, blah blah blah.
Yeah, top. This is ridiculous. It's there. So it's the thing. We're gonna have a note in the. We're gonna have a link in the show notes to the Apple Watch charger, and it's called the Apple the Go Power. Ha ha! Finally, top man.
Go idiot. You.
Wait, dumb butt. Go Power. Whatever. It's watch stand, portable battery, and charger too.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And
It is. It's a pretty cool device, and that's what I would take if I was going to go camping and I wanted to wear my Apple Watch. And if I was hiking, I'd want to wear my Apple Watch because, you know, pseudo OCD.
And when I'm doing day hikes, I absolutely wear my Apple Watch. But if I'm doing something where I'm going to be away from power for more than 24 hours, mm-hmm. I just leave it behind. With my Fitbit, I just make sure it was fully charged before I go on the trip. And I would go on week-long camping trips with my Fitbit.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. That is something that Fitbit does better. So anyway, I don't think I've ever alleged that Apple Watch is perfect. But I do think it's the best smartwatch on the market. So there you have it. And anyway, thanks again for the note, Jason. We appreciate the reality check. Always.
Yep. Anytime someone can give Brian a reality check, that's a good thing.
Yep.
Wait, what?
I didn't hear you.
That's okay.
So speaking of that eclipse,
mm-hmm.
What's the deal with it?
So it's coming up on Monday, August 21st.
And well, that's next Monday.
Yeah, so that's next Monday. We're only days away from it now. And while we have solar eclipses periodically, what we don't have is an eclipse like this, where we have a path of totality that runs from coast to coast across the continental United States.
Ah.
Yeah. And this one, it's kind of a diagonal path from northwest to southeast. And this is awesome because that means that I'm relatively close to where the path of totality is going to be. So we're doing a camping trip and heading north up into Wyoming, and we're going to watch the eclipse, and it's going to be awesome. So what you need to do is make sure you're prepared ahead of time if you're going to try and watch this. And you're prepared, right?
I am not prepared. I haven't bothered to get glasses and whatnot, but I also see that I don't get the total
right eclipse. But where you are, you are probably, I'm not looking at a map right now, but you're going to be around 90% totality. Am I close?
It is probably a little bit less than that.
All right. So still very impressive. It's important that regardless of how much of the totality path or how complete the eclipse will be for you, that you're protecting your eyes.
Yes. And this is true. This is like a thing that can really mess you up.
Yeah. And by mess you up, meaning you can go blind because you just can't look at the eclipse, period. Now, the exception would be if you get the proper eye protection, then you can. So that would be ISO 12312 certification. And don't worry, we'll have a link in today's show notes to the article I wrote that has all this information for you. But ISO 12312 certification, that means that that the lenses in the eyewear are going to protect your eyes from the sun. And even if you're like me in the path of totality, you still have to wear glasses. You cannot look directly at this.
Yeah. And sunglasses don't cut it.
No, not even close. Brian, let's just say for sake of argument that you procrastinated and didn't get glasses.
Okay. By the way, this is not just for the sake of argument, but go ahead.
Okay. So you don't have glasses, and we're at the point now where it's possible that you're not going to be able to find any unless Correct. You know someone that has an extra pair that they want to give to you. So check out your local library and check out any of the museums that are around you, because those are places that have been carrying glasses, and some of the libraries will give them away for free. Museums, they tend to be pretty cheap, you know, like $3. And if they have any in stock still, then you're in luck. I've also heard from various people that independent hardware stores still have them in many cases. So there are places around. You're not going to get them from Amazon now.
Right.
If you order them today, meaning Wednesday, you're not going to get them till the 22nd at the earliest, which is a day too late.
Right. And even if you could get them, they're a jillion bucks for some very inexpensive.
Right. But
things.
You can still watch the eclipse even without glasses. And it's easy to do.
How do you do that, Jeff?
Oh, Brian, I'm so glad you asked. The simplest way to do it would be to make a very rudimentary pinhole projector. And I've done this the last time we had a partial eclipse that went through Boulder, there were people that thought I was some sort of wizard of the dark arts when I took a piece of paper and a small paper clip, and I punched a hole through the paper, and then I aimed the paper with a hole at the eclipse, so my back is to the eclipse, and the light from the eclipse passes through the hole and gets focused like a projector, and whatever I'm projecting on, I now see the image of the eclipse. So I just projected it onto a concrete parking lot, and I was able to watch the partial eclipse, and it was great. And the other people that saw what I was doing just really couldn't wrap their head around something as simple as a piece of paper with a hole in it.
They must have not gotten the videos when they were in elementary school.
Clearly, because that's where I learned how to do this.
Sure. Yeah.
and it was great. So I didn't have glasses. I got to watch the whole eclipse, and other people got to watch it as well. So that's cool. An easy way to do it.
Go you. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So you can download apps too that can help you keep track of the eclipse. So the app that I'm going to be relying on heavily for this is Solar Eclipse Timer. And it's like a couple dollars, I think, for the app. And it's on my iPhone, and it figures out where you are with the iPhone's GPS, or you can give it coordinates. And then what it does is it gives you the exact time for the eclipse for wherever you are. And it's pretty cool because you can look at your phone and know that you're like 50% through the eclipse or you're about to reach the point of totality. It's a very handy little app.
Excellent. That's good.
So, have you checked out any of the websites?
No. What websites, Jeff?
Oh, golly, Brian. You're doing really well as a straight man.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So, the websites that I think are, like, really good to check out, eclipse2017.org. And space.com, they both have really great maps with charts for major cities all across the United States. So you can see times for the eclipse wherever you are. And then the other day, I found a webpage where a guy used Google Maps to set up this whole interactive eclipse tracker. And so it's called the Interactive Eclipse Map, and it's done by a guy named Javier Hubier. And so you just click on the map, and it'll show you all the details about the eclipse for that location. So you can click where you live and get this little pop-up with your eclipse details. You can also do a search. So you can type in your city name or GPS coordinates, whatever, and get the details about the eclipse from wherever you are. So there you go.
That's cool. That is cool. I have a question for you. Do you know much about the physics of light? Last time we had eclipse 2 or 3, 4 years ago, I took some fun, I think, photographs of the shadows that were being cast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Do you know anything about that weird effect?
Like the weird distortion you get, the kind of oblong shape?
Yes.
So, and I might be wrong, but this is what was explained to me. And you get the odd shape in part because the Earth is curved. So the shadow is bending with the surface of the Earth. So if Earth was flat, and if the moon was in a position where the shadow would be at like a right angle to the moon, then you'd have the sphere shape or the circle shape of the moon. But the light's coming at an angle, and then you have the curved surface of the Earth, and so it distorts that shadow, so it becomes an oblong shape instead of a perfect circle.
Who knew?
Well, the guy that told me.
Oh, yeah, fair enough, and probably a bunch of other people, too.
Probably a bunch of other people.
But that's just nitpicking.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the eclipse. It's going to be very exciting. You put together a wealth of resources for us at TMO, and which is super cool. And we'll have links to those in the show notes for our listeners to better arm themselves for a proper eclipse experience.
Yep. Can you tell I'm kind of excited about the eclipse?
Yes. Yes, I can.
It kind of shows, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah. It's going to be fracking awesome.
Indeed. Indeed. Fun stuff.
Do you know the last time we had a coast-to-coast eclipse like this? 99 years ago.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Yeah. So something like this is a once in a lifetime event.
I want my gut instinct is to start channeling Jay-Z, but
No, I understand.
I don't. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So, all right. Well, speaking of really weird things.
Yes.
Got a question for you.
Okay.
It's been bugging me.
All right.
We've kind of touched on some of this stuff a little bit.
This is about to get really personal, isn't it?
No, not that kind of touching.
Oh.
Going back to Tim Cook saying that the face wasn't the place for wearable computing. Mm-hmm. And he was taking a dig at Google Glass.
Right. Yep. It wasn't even a thinly veiled dig.
No, not at all. Because people would ask, what about wearables? What about Google Glass? What do you think of that? Blah, 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 blah. And he would say, the face isn't the place for that. And the thing is that the face is the place for augmented reality and virtual reality. And the reason why is because for most people, our eyes are located somewhere on our face. And so...
Hi. This is my boyfriend, Bill, and he has one eye on his hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Shake his other hand.
Or, one eye in the back of your head or whatever. I mean, like most of us look, obviously, I'm not trying to make light, of course, of folks who are blind or
mothers, because they have eyes on the back of their head.
The mothers actually do, yes. But we look with our eyes, and augmented reality is about what you see. Did you watch that really cool video I posted a few days ago?
Which one?
It's the Portal World one.
Oh yeah, yeah. And just to be clear, we're talking about the same one. Someone did a demo app on the iPhone, and they're kind of swinging their iPhone around, and they see a portal door, and so they walk through where the door is, and now on their iPhone, it's like they're in a different world, and then they go through another door and come back out where they were.
Yeah, it's for a game called Genereal. Mm-hmm. And he found the key, picked up the key, and obviously you're not holding a key. But anyway, he picked up the key and he unlocked the door, went into the door, and it's all in another world. And it's definitely another step forward in the whole augmented reality. Of course, that sort of starts crossing that line between virtual reality and augmented reality. Mm-hmm. But we'll have a link to that in the show notes.
Cool.
And are you keeping track of all these things we're supposed to have links to?
No. Portal.
Neither am I.
AR thing.
Yeah, Genereal. And then links to the AR stuff. Sausage. Links to not AR. All the Easy Eclipse stuff you've done.
Yeah. And we also have a cool YouTube channel that we set up. Or
yeah,
YouTube
playlist.
Playlist.
A playlist.
With that, a bunch of Jeff, AR videos.
Jeff Sucks put together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, that was good. Yeah, we'll include the AR playlist. So, Topman. And, I've been thinking about that. It bugged me when he said it. It bugged me when he said it from the standpoint of, you need glasses of some sort, goggles or glasses or something that's in between you and your eyes for seeing any kind of augmented or virtual reality. Mm-hmm. And since then, of course, that was also Tim Cook propping up Apple Watch. It was a tease leading into the eventual announcement of Apple Watch. This was several years ago that he said this. And he hasn't said it since.
Well.
Right? He hasn't bagged on the face not being the place for augmented wearable computing in a long time. Of course, no one's asked him. Right. And And we also know that Apple has been working on some kind of goggles / glasses thing of its own. We know this, but we also have heard that there's a high likelihood of it being canceled. Right? Apple tends to, they develop a product until they're, and you know, and they'll kill it when they think that they need to kill it, to kill it. For instance, TV, spoiler. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you know, augmented reality on our phones is fine. It's fine. It's cool even. Like, we've seen cool stuff. But it's not good enough. Like, we need goggles or glasses or implants that can project stuff directly onto whichever lobe it is that's handling vision, or we need contacts that are capable of displaying information. We need,
as Fry said in this very situation, shut up and take my money. Oh, right. That's right. You are not a
I know the reference though.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about Apple's making this big bet on AR. They've got a lot of people working on this. iOS 11 is when it starts for the public. And the things that Apple has done with AR Kit in iOS 11 are really going to rewrite the rules for this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And I think it's going to be really interesting and amazing. But other than the G-Wiz factor, I don't want to walk around with my phone in front of me all the time, like some Pokemon player, which, by the way, you don't see people doing that all the time anymore.
Not like in the beginning. But the whole Pokemon Go thing, I mean, for a while, it was just crazy, like marauding gangs of Pokemon hunters. And now I still see them on a regular basis, but it's like one person here, one person.
You know what would make Pokemon really fun is if you had eyewear that you had on all the time that you used as a natural course of your daily life, where the Pokemon app is running in the background and you might catch one out of the corner of your eye as opposed to walking around with the phone in front of your face.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at the world through my, you know, it's interesting, Jeff. We know that one of the goals for Apple Watch was to actually free us from the tyranny of iPhone. Right? Apple looked around and said, "Oh my goodness, we have been fabulous successful with this iPhone thing, and mm-hmm. isn't it awful because now we all have our faces buried in our phones all the time."
Let's come up with to have our faces buried in our phones all the time.
Yeah, even more so, right? Yeah. And They wanted like how can we free people from their iPhone screens? You know, we've been so successful with this, but we want to help people be connected without having to have their heads in their iPhones all the time. Apple executives have spoken about this. This is one of the motivations for Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm. And you know what the problem is? And this isn't Apple's problem per se. It's just the problem in general. And it's that we have technology that's out of sync. And what that means right now is that we have augmented reality, AR, that is suddenly advancing in a significant way. But the hardware that's going to ultimately make that very compelling for regular daily use isn't there yet. So we have these two different technologies that aren't in sync. And that means that we have to have a bridge to gap that until the hardware technology catches up. And if you want people to get into AR, you need to make sure the barrier isn't very high so you don't make them buy new hardware. And that means iPhones.
And you got to start somewhere. I'm not backing on what Apple has already done with AR and iOS 11. I'm blown away by it. It's going to be really interesting and really exciting. I'm excited about AR with what we know, which means you know, using our iPhones and or iPads, right? I'm excited about the possibilities there, but I'm trying to. I am thinking more bigly about it.
Yeah.
Seriously. I'm like, how does AR become a real part of our lives without some form of goggles, glasses, contact lens, ocular implant?
It's
which, by the way, those aren't a thing yet.
Right.
And I don't think
real
contact lenses that can display any kind of information. I don't think even a billionaire could buy something like that yet.
No, Google is working on them, and they have patents, and I don't know if they have working prototypes, but that's actually an area where Google has been working for quite a while. But here's the other thing. If we get to the point where we can do true augmented reality in a very meaningful way with glasses and contact lenses, that means we can probably also use that same technology to control the prescription of those glasses or contact lenses, which means for someone like me, I don't have to buy insanely expensive lenses every 2 years. Wouldn't that be fracking awesome?
That would be fun.
That would be really cool. And then all this other important data, like when we go to conferences and we meet people that we saw 2 years ago, like a PR person, and we didn't see them last year, but they still remember us, and they start interacting as if we're just picking up a conversation as old friends. Man, if I had something that could give me the backstory from 2 years ago, so I'd remember who I'm talking to and have proper context, that would be awesome.
Yeah, let's actually expand that. So you see someone on the street and you're talking with them. Actually, maybe as you're just walking by, and you can actually get all sorts of inappropriate information about them. But that's not the point. So you're walking the street, you see someone. And you know them, or maybe the information is being looked up on the internet. So you got their name, and their name is displayed over their head, so you can just see it. And then you've got their Twitter handle, Facebook handle, Instagram handle. Mm-hmm. And whether or not you follow them or they follow you, how many emails you've exchanged, how many points of contact you've exchanged, maybe even how many degrees of separation there are between you and that person.
And
Kevin Bacon. And these are of course there would be a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon app plugin.
Of course there would.
Of course there would be. And so all of this information is just right there. It's in the corner of your vision. You're the only one seeing it, theoretically. And the scary thing is where they went to lunch, whether or not they're married, whether or not they're cheating on their spouse, whether or not they're allergic to lactose. It's also possible we could get all kinds of inappropriate information, but without delving.
Knowing that I have a dairy allergy, I think that's appropriate. Oh, wait, that's not
fair,
what you
fair
meant.
Fair enough. Whether or not, the credit score, that I think that there was a book, that actually looked at all this stuff as a virtual reality where that was one of the things that that could be displayed above someone's head was like how much money they have in their bank account and a bunch of other stuff. So this is the future and it's coming. But, what we don't want to do is like, hey, how you doing? And then you hold up your iPhone, you look at them through your iPhone.
Right.
Right. That,
very discreet.
No, that's not discreet at all, and it's annoying, and that's not what we want. And I just, the more I think about it, I don't see any way for Apple to truly bring us into this AR future without the benefit of some kind of eyewear that you wear in your face.
Yeah, and
we've got the intermediary step of iPhones, mm-hmm. as you very, very poignantly pointed out. And then we're going to have the intermediary state of glasses or goggles, although really it needs to be something like glasses because goggles are, intrusive and obnoxious. And then we'll have the contact lenses, and then we'll eventually have those ocular implants that I reference all the time. Mm-hmm. But I don't see how we can go to an AR future that Apple is betting big on without eventually having some kind of glassware.
It seems inevitable. And what if, and I'm just tossing this out there, what if Apple has a different idea of the way AR is going to be used, where glasses aren't necessary or contacts?
And, well, so then you've got an ocular implant.
Or an ocular implant where it is more appropriate just to periodically you lift up your phone. And no, I'm not buying into that myself, but the point is Apple has done many things in the past where it was unexpected, you know, like the way they revolutionized smartphones, the way they revolutionized portable media players. They took a different approach from what everyone else is doing with technology. And when they did it, it seemed painfully obvious. But until that point, it didn't. So what if they have something else that's coming along for AR that's painfully obvious after we see it?
Yeah, that's entirely possible, but I'm not buying it. The fifth possibility would be something that's being projected.
That doesn't seem very likely either.
Because no, mainly because anything that's being projected for me to see, someone else could see.
Right. And now everyone has to wear a projector and you have to have something to project on.
You could have a tiny, no, not necessarily. I think you probably use lasers to do something that is being projected into a point in space. I would imagine. I maybe not. And, you know, the physicists out there and the, you know, feel free to write me up at acmmacobserver.com and laugh at me. But
instead of laughing at Brian, set him straight on how that would work.
Or both. Yeah. Or both.
And when I say set him straight on how that would work, I say it because Brian presented that as a possibility. And I honestly have no idea how you would do midair projection with the laser. So I would love someone to explain how that works.
Or if it works. All right. Let's go with that. Go with that. All right. One way or another, wearable computing on our face is going to be a thing. And Tim was either wrong about that, or he was doing some Steve Jobs obfuscation where he knew that the misdirection obfuscation, where he knew that was eventually going to be the future. But for now, look at the wrist in the Apple Watch.
Which is something I could totally see him doing, even though that was Steve Jobs' modus operandi. But, you know, it's not like he can't do the same thing. It's just that he typically hasn't.
Yeah, he didn't. He speaks in cook code where he actually tells us quite bluntly what he's going to do without telling us anything. And it usually makes sense in retrospect, unless, of course, and I'm going to toot my own horn yet again on this. You're someone like me who figured out that Apple was going to compete with netbooks with an iPod Super Touch, which Apple did.
And they called it the iPad.
And do you remember netbooks? And therefore, I'm right. But in general, he speaks in cook code, and he usually doesn't just lie to us about what he's going to do. But
he has no problem being coy.
Yeah.
Ish. All right. And I'm with you, Brian. I think that for AR to maintain the momentum that it seems to have right now, we need to have something that takes our phone away from our face.
Yeah. And I feel compelled to add this, man. I'm not complaining about what Apple has done. And I'm not complaining that Apple doesn't have goggles already or something like that. The real purpose of my musings here is, what the heck could Apple do if they're not going to do goggles or glasses or, you know, some kind of eyewear? And I don't see a way for Apple to really push AR into the mainstream, into a daily part of our lives without eyewear.
And I think you are only partially wrong right here, because you're not seeing how Apple can push this into the mainstream without eyewear. they're pushing it into the mainstream in a big way with that eyewear right now.
And daily use, that was the other part of that, though.
Okay, well, the daily
use. It's not just a mainstream. It's daily. It's like, for instance, with the person outside your house.
Yeah, apparently there's someone that's really excited about having a loud motorcycle.
Yeah, hard to blame them. So, I think something is going to be coming. If Apple doesn't make it, it's because they're confident that someone else will. They may be canceling the glasses project that they're working on, but at some point we've got to have some kind of eyewear because that's where most of us look.
It does seem inevitable, and complaining that Apple doesn't have eyewear today, in my opinion, would be like getting pissed off at the Wright brothers because their Kitty Hawk flyer couldn't go supersonic.
Yeah, right. And I'm not complaining about
that. And yeah, I'm just making that clear because I want to make sure that we don't get email bagging on you for that. There's plenty of other things to bag on.
Plenty. Absolutely plenty. How much time do we have?
Oh, we have 15 minutes left. Well, technically 14.
Okay. There is a new rumor. Do you know anything about it?
A new rumor?
Yeah, there's a new rumor about an OLED TV. Finally, it's going to be here. Apple TV, an OLED Apple TV, 60-inch Apple TV.
Oh my God, that sounds like a crazy, crazy thing. Wait, is Gene Munster back at it?
I don't think it's Gene, is it? I don't know anything about it. I know that the rumor exists. Do you know any facts here?
Okay, so here's the deal. There are pictures that popped up on Weibo, which is the Chinese version of Twitter. And they're showing what looks like a large, they're saying a 60-inch television. So, but a large screen OLED television that has an Apple logo on it. So one of the photos is showing this lap with this television on a table. You see it from the backside, and there's the Apple logo. And then there are a couple other images showing, you know, like the display, and it's supposed to be this big 60 or 65 inch OLED screen television, and it's an Apple television.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. Not buying it at all. Not even a little bit. Not even tiny little bit. What did you used to say? Fakety fake fake fake.
I still say it. It's just I haven't needed to say it as often as I used to. But yep, fakety fake 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 fake.
If Apple was working on this in the lab, it wouldn't have an Apple logo on it. First of all,
no, of course not.
And Apple may well be playing with some kind of large display, but it's not for a television set that they're anticipating shipping as a television set. It could be. I mean, it could be for any if they're even making something. Again, it wouldn't have the Apple logo on it when it's in testing like this.
Right. And this is clearly a testing lab. This isn't like a production facility where it's been pulled off to the side for testing. This is where you're doing prototyping. And you don't do prototyping with a big honking Apple logo.
Apple doesn't. Apple doesn't.
No.
Right? Apple doesn't do that. So even if they were, there are other things that Apple could possibly do. Use a big screen for, they could be making stuff for the Apple stores. They could be doing a lot of things other than making a TV. They're not making a TV. They put the TV to bed. They said that they put the TV to bed. There's no TV.
You know, I think that we don't even need to try and find another way Apple would be using this large display because they're not. I think the photos that showed up on Weibo, they're just fake. And that means that either someone stuck an Apple logo on to this television thing with Photoshop or some other image editing tool, or someone stuck an Apple sticker on it and then took the photo.
Yeah, but Apple's not going to be making a TV. They decided that they can't control enough key technologies to protect whatever kind of advances they were going to make in the world of TVs.
Well, then we also have the same arguments that that I was bringing up when there was a lot of talk about Apple TV. One is the average time span between people purchasing televisions is 7 years. Apple doesn't want a television on the market that you're only going to buy once every 7 years. They want products that people buy more often. And then the other thing is, where are you going to put them? Space is a crazy premium in Apple stores, not just for display, but for storing inventory in back. There's no room for televisions. This is, and they're not going to sell it through other companies.
Are you going to go to Target
to buy the Apple television, this premium TV?
You go to Apple to Target to buy iPhones and other Apple devices. Why not a TV? Well, as a matter of fact, I don't like any of your counter arguments.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to like them. Remember, you're the guy that thinks Fitbit sucks.
Touche.
I love you, man.
Yeah, but if Apple wanted to sell a TV, I mean, because they were looking at selling a TV. So if your arguments were the reason for them not to have made a TV, they never would have even been looking at making a TV. If they wanted to sell a TV, they'd find a way to do it.
Yeah, well, I think they decided. I mean,
they sell iMacs. iMacs are big, too.
Not like a television. And you'll buy an iMac more often than a television, probably.
No, maybe.
That's why I said probably.
Maybe.
I think the margins on an iMac are a lot better than a television,
I think that the... Well, depends on how Apple does it.
Yeah,
I mean, don't forget that one of the arguments about Apple not making a cell phone back before the iPhone came out was that the cell phone margins are razor thin.
Yeah, well, they still are.
Well, yeah, but iPhone margins are not.
That's true. So still, regardless of
the rules, and that's the thing. That's the thing, Jeff. That's the reason why they're not going to do this, is they decided that because they can't control, they can't have a lockdown on enough key technologies, they can't protect their margins. That's why they're not going to make it.
And so we're in agreement. Apple's not going to make a television.
Correct. We're in agreement there.
Yeah.
We're just on disagreement as to how wrong you are on why.
No, we both know that I'm right, and we also know that sometimes it's just difficult for you to admit that. And that's okay.
If that helps you sleep at night, that's fine. So, yeah, I don't like this rumor is ridiculous. This rumor is ridiculous. That photo is ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. Apple's not making a television set.
No, they are not.
Don't even worry about that. Maybe that was what they were doing instead of glasses. They're going to have that. Maybe that's what that was for. They're going to have this big 60-inch plated glass that you carry around. You have a helmet and then the helmet has a pole,
a big pole and a strap,
a big pole that's curved because it's gotta be strong.
Right.
And then there's a 60-inch piece of glass so that everywhere you look, it's like
being in reality.
It's like being in reality. It's like everything looks like HD.
The awesome thing is no one would ever leave their home because it can't fit through the door anymore.
Oh my goodness. That would be fantastic. Plus I'm like seeing it, like everything's bobbing. So, you know. Like, oh, but we have motion dampening technology to keep the image from bobbing while your 60-inch plate of glass is bobbing.
You know, so you don't throw up.
Yeah, right. that's so ridiculous. All right, listen, I happen to know that you need to go somewhere. I think we've got a few minutes left, but I think we have about
5 minutes.
This would be a, oh, okay, well, then we're on time. Let's head out.
Okay. Well, we can totally do that. All I have to do is find the right button to push, which I think is this one. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people of the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
Hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.